Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeff Schwartz. I love Jeff because he goes after people on social media. He can get very, very homerific on his college, which I am doing with Ohio State right now because I'm catching strays from all sorts of Michigan fans. And then I can ask Jeff, and Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am fantastic. I don't know why, you know, people, it's so funny, you know, our coach leaves and people are like, why are you so salty? I'm like, why would I not be salty? Like, what are we actually supposed to have when your coach leaves? Oh, great, he left us for someone else. Like, of course you're salty about it. I like it.
Yeah, he's referencing University of Oregon just lost their head coach to Miami. People were annoyed with the way that went down. They've been annoyed with the way that Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley went down. You have a problem with any of this?
No, I don't care how it went down. I mean, like, this is the business of college football. I don't think it all affected his preparation for any of the Oregon games or any of the of our season. Like, I don't think it affected Brian Kelly's preparation or Lincoln Riley's. Like, this is what it is. Like, I'm fine with it. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, Mario and his representatives have been talking to Miami for 3 or 4 weeks now. That's fine. As long as it doesn't affect our team's preparation, which I don't think it did, then his agent can talk to whoever he wants. It doesn't bother me.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the show. Well, I guess we just got to get down to it. The Browns are in a must-win situation basically every single game for the rest of this year. What do the Browns got to do to win every single one of those games for the rest of this year and get themselves in the playoffs?
Well, I have to think, you know, you have to hope that Baker Mayfield's healthier, right? Because I think we're seeing now that no matter, you know, how good your offensive line is, and the Browns have a great one, now there's some injuries that are, you know, concerns, especially right tackle. And no matter your run game and your running backs, if you can't pass the ball in the NFL, you don't have a chance to win. And it's that simple. And I've played on teams like that. I played on teams that could rush the ball very well, but we just weren't consistent enough in the passing game. And teams just load up the box and say, hey, beat us in the passing game. And it's hard to do, right, if you can't get it done. So that, to me, is the biggest issue. You know, defensively, just, you know, keep trying to and the secondary has improved throughout the season. But I think the biggest thing that Browns fans should be kind of looking at is the rest of the division, right? Because Pittsburgh, yeah, they won this past weekend, but, like, I don't know. I still don't really believe in them and their quarterback. Their defense has not been what it has been the last couple of years. You know, to me, Baltimore, it's just too beat up. Eventually, injuries become a huge concern. And every time the Bengals, and, you know, they think, oh, we're in first place, they lose to the Jets or lose to the Chargers. Like, they're not trustworthy. So the Browns are in a good spot here. They can reel off some wins to put themselves right back into the lead of the AFC North.
Jeff Schwartz joining us on the show. Okay, so you talk about Baker. Is it a Stefanski thing because of his adjustments, because of Baker's injuries? Do you think Baker's as injured as what a lot of us think? What's your thoughts there?
Is there talk about Baker not being that injured? I don't know.
Oh yeah, from his own general manager. Yeah, last week.
Oh, I missed this. What did he say? He said he's not that injured.
But Jeff, he said there is a 3-step process in determining if he could play in games. He met all of those standards or whatever they want to put it in the organization. He expects him to play really well the final 5 weeks of the year because he's being asked, why didn't you go to Case Keenum, especially for those games when it seemed like Baker was really banged up, did not play well against the Lions, did not play well against the Steelers.
Right. So it's interesting how we talk about injuries in the NFL because there's a standard of can you play, right? And teams look at it like that, right? So can Baker Mayfield play? Yes. He can play. Teams then consider you not to be injured. It's kind of hilarious. Like, if you can play the game, you're considered good enough to play, and therefore your injuries do not matter to how you're evaluated on the field. This is why players and front offices always argue about whether or not players are healthy enough to play, because from the player's perspective, you're like, well, I can play, but I'm not going to play as well, but you're going to hold that against me when it comes time to evaluate me, because if we play, you assume I'm healthy. It's kind of this big circle that keeps going around and around and around. So I understand them saying, hey, he's healthy enough to play, but is he healthy enough to play at the level that we need him to? And that seems to be no so far. So I believe Baker that he's hurt, but when you step on that field, you're being judged as though you're healthy. And that is a big thing that players and front offices always argue about. And so I get the point of what Barry's saying there, that, yeah, he's healthy enough to play, but then Baker's going to say, well, I'm not healthy enough to perform at the level that's expected of me. That's obviously where where you have to determine whether or not he's really that injured. So obviously he's not playing as well this season. I don't think it's Stefanski's fault. I don't think Stefanski forgot how to coach offense after all these years. And it's up to Baker and Stefanski to generate an offense that puts Baker in the best spots. But this is what we've said, the Baker haters, right, have always said, like, we think he's a little bit limited, and now he's a little bit limited as far as his playmaking ability because of his injuries, and this is what you get in offense. You get a guy who just can't do enough in some of these games because of his limitations plus his injuries, and this is where you're at with Baker, and you have to find ways offensively, whether it's screens or schemed up passes or using the run game, to just generate offense when he's not playing 100%.
Jeff Schwartz joining us on the show. So let me just take it one step further here. What do you say to the callers and to the tweeters and everybody who says, well, the doctors say he's good enough to play, so it's not an excuse. The injuries aren't an excuse.
Again, I go back to this. What I just said, there's a difference between being ready to play and being 100%, right? Like, I had an ankle injury. I could play 100%. There's the difference there, right? And this is the way the teams view it, right? The team is, and this is the, this is why there's always arguments between players and teams about injuries, because you can play at 75%, but you might not play as well. And as soon as you step on the field, when you're being evaluated at the end of the season, no one says, oh, Jeff played 10 games, 75%. You're just evaluated what you do on the field. And this is, again, why players will sit out when they're hurt, and teams might say, oh, well, he's healthy enough to play. And the player's like, you know what? I know this works. I'm not going to do it. And so, yeah, I think he's healthy enough to play, but is he healthy enough to perform at the same level that he has previously? It appears he's not.
Jeff, Browns fans were annoyed with that last game against the Ravens, not just because, obviously, they lost. You had four interceptions that you couldn't take advantage of, and you just didn't run the ball nearly as much as anybody would have expected, given Baker's issues or receiver's issues right now. They only ran it 15 times in that game. And obviously everybody saw what Bill Belichick did the other night where they ran the ball every down. The weather was obviously a factor there. Can you run the ball against 8-9-man fronts? How can you run the ball effectively against those?
It's hard. You need your wide receivers to block well, because that's kind of they have to block the extra guy. I mean, the problem with 8-9-man boxes, for the most part, is you have an extra defender in there that you have to beat. When you run against a 6-man box, 7-man box, you that defender is either eaten up by maybe an RPO action or by a bootleg action. But 8 or 9-man box, man, like you're just having to make that guy miss. We saw that long New England run, right? The safety overran it, like you made him miss. That's how you have to do it when you're running against those 8 or 9-man boxes. It's heavy sledding, man, and it's ugly football. And it's just hard to do. And you can only do it, by the way, if you don't allow points. Like, if you're down 14-0, you can't run that offense anymore. So, the run game numbers, and the Browns aren't a big RPO team, can be skewed by the amount of RPOs called, right? I mean, this is Kansas City. Fans are like, well, run the ball more. And like, well, we called 27 runs, but 10 of them were thrown RPOs. It doesn't count as a run in the statute. So, against the Ravens specifically too, like their pass defense is terrible. I would throw the ball against Baltimore. So like I'm okay with that game plan against the Ravens.
What is going on in the NFL right now, Jeff? Just kind of big picture, that it seems like all these great quarterbacks, whether it's Mahomes, who has at times had issues, whether it's Josh Allen. You can go up and down and look at the NFL quarterback play right now. Is this the year that the defense got back in the game? They evened things out. Why are some of the things that were so effective when we saw all these shootouts the last 5 years of the NFL, and this year, totally different story? What happened?
Well, you could say that for college football as well, because I think college football is the same, not issue, but this quarterback play has not been as good as it's been in previous seasons. You know, Mahomes obviously is struggling. He's thrown some untimely interceptions, which really aren't his fault. He's made some bad throws as well. Kind of all this turnover luck that he's dealt, that he's kind of gone his way the last couple of years, are just kind of just not happening this season. He's having issues with mechanics and whatnot. But I mean, that's just, it feels like a blip, right? You know, Josh Allen though, he's kind of playing like he has the previous couple of years. You know, it seems like last season was maybe the outlier season for his career, and what he was in 2019 is what his actual career will be. That's how I feel like that sort of is. And the thing about the Chiefs, man, is they're obviously 8-4 out of 1-5 in a row, and their defense is playing great. If Pat can just figure it out a little bit, they're going to win the AFC again. And I think the Chiefs fans are kind of waiting for him to – the offense. And it's not just Pat. The offense, there's drops and penalties and obviously the interceptions and turnovers that just are uncharacteristic for Kansas City. They can – figure out a way to stop doing that. They're going to win the AFC.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the show. SiriusXM NFL, Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz with a G. Is the AFC North actually good? Is it good this year?
If Baltimore was healthy, maybe, but I guess. You know, Baltimore has had some pretty fortunate wins. I mean, they could easily be a 500 team. I think the Bengals, like I said earlier, when there's no expectations on the Bengals, they're fine. But the problem is, as soon as we start talking about them, is AFC North winners or one or two seed, they lose a terrible game. They're not ready for them. They play like a team in those moments that is new to winning, and that's fine. And then Pittsburgh is just, Ben's not any good. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. I think it's an average division. I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, as we're talking right now, it's probably just good division, not great and not bad.
I couldn't agree with you more about the Cincinnati thing. How's Baltimore able to pull it out? Is it luck? What part of it's luck? Is it the organization of all the pieces with John Harbaugh? Is it Lamar? What is it?
I mean, they hit like a 7-yard field goal to win a game. I mean, part of it is just kind of a little bit of luck, right, in that moment. That you have the greatest kicker of all time on your team. I think it's about just, you know, the culture you've built in Baltimore, the infrastructure, and just being able to plug in players into a system that make it work. And this is the kind of value of having kind of long-term coaching. As you build up the staff and the system where you're able to put in and develop young players. Obviously, Lamar has been a big part of it. I think we're seeing him really pressed the last couple of weeks. I mean, same thing we saw with Mahomes, you know, the midpoint of the season when the defense was so bad, he tried to do too much. And I think that's what Lamar is doing right now. Lamar is making some throws, some YOLO throws, kind of like just the middle of the field. Like, I hope my guy catches it, just because they don't really have much happening right now. And, you know, the offensive line injury. So it's Lamar, it's culture, it's player development. It's all of that is how they're able, and a little bit of luck, obviously. You know, Calais Campbell blocks a kick, and that kind of changed the trajectory of that game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled in week 2, as the Chiefs were marching down the field to kick a game-winning field goal. So they've had some luck as well, but I think a lot of it goes back to what Harbaugh's built as far as culture and what Lamar Jackson did, especially early in the season.
Now, you're an Oregon guy. And I'm sitting across the table here in the radio studio from somebody who went to Akron, and your OC from last year heading to Akron to be the head coach, Joe Moorhead. Do you know anything about Joe Moorhead?
Yeah, he's a really good coach. This is a good spot for him. He has done really well at Fordham. He did well at Akron. He did okay at Mississippi State. I think this kind of has a small school vibe. And he's a fabulous offensive coach. He really is. You're going to have some innovation in offense. You're going to have a ton of RPOs. He is RPO heavy. And he's really good, guys, in like short yardage and red zone. Like, he has all these these variations drawn up of plays. Look, we saw against Ohio State, obviously, the best his offense has looked. And he schemed up the heck of that game. It was a great job by him, obviously. Ohio State just kind of sat in there. And they've changed their defense since then. But that was kind of his masterpiece. He's a really good coach. I think Akron, he's overqualified schematically to coach at Akron, put it like that.
Jeff, we set a low bar at the University of Akron. So, I mean, if he wins 3 games next year, I'm going to be overjoyed. If he wins 6, I'm probably going to set something on fire.
I'm looking forward to the Tuesday night, mid-November game. It's 7 degrees outside, I should say. There's 4 fans in the crowd, but Joe Moorhead's scheme of those RPOs, but I'll be watching.
And I should be panicking about Utah and the Rose Bowl, right?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like Ohio State fans are going to take this very lightly, and they're going to punch Ohio State right in the mouth, same as Michigan did, same as Oregon did. You look at the 3 losses they had. They had a different quarterback for the first 2. That matters. And then the Oregon State game was kind of a funky punt block and whatnot. Utah, they can play football, guys. They're a year ahead of schedule. They had 9 new starters on defense this season. So, and Devin Lloyd, by the way, number 0, their linebacker, will be a first round draft pick. He might be the best player on the field. He is. Just watch him play. He's gonna wreck. He wrecks games. Number 0. So, they're really good guys. And I think if you take them lightly, because it's just Utah, you're gonna be very mistaken. And they had a season from hell, guys. I mean, they had a player accidentally shoot himself and kill himself in December, and they had one of their teammates murdered this year, like in cold blood at a party from behind. And like they have rallied together, they've done it together as a team, and they play their butts off, man. They run the football, play action pass, play really tough defense, physical, rush the passer. They obviously whooped on Oregon's butt twice this season, but very impressive Utah team. Do not look at their record and think that's the team you're getting, the 9-3 or 10-3 team.
Jeff, we thank you very much for the time. All the best. Wonderful stuff.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
You too. Jeff Schwartz. Well, I agreed with him. I can't believe that. I agreed with him on just about everything he was saying there. The Joe Moorhead, I'm hoping. The Utah stuff, it's like, that could be Kyle Whittingham's last game. Like, they are going to be firing on all cylinders. You have to bring it.
I know. I am worried about the game. I am absolutely worried about the game, and I also don't know who's going to play for Ohio State. Also, Jeff said you should try to throw the ball against Baltimore Ravens.
Well, there's another thing in there I have to bring up after we just got done talking to Jeff, where I've been saying it, and a lot of you just don't want to believe it. Maybe since a former NFL player said it, you'll believe him. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.